This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of VSiN Prime Time alongside Matt Newman's. I'm Tim Murray. A lot of baseball going on. A complete game shutout. Don't see it all that often. The first one of his career, and he would be Andrew Abbott. Through a complete game shutout tonight, 110 pitches, Matt, for the Cincinnati Reds, who have now won five straight as they beat the Guardians tonight, 1-0. Three hits, no runs, a walk, five strikeouts for Andrew Abbott as he lowers his ERA to a microscopic 1.87 on the year.
Yeah, great performance. Outstanding performance by Andrew Abbott, who's a pitcher that you should be betting on. And he was off a bad start against the Brewers, but he bounced back tonight. And Abbott, you had to sweat it out, though, if you played him, because he had a runner on first and got a fly out to the wall to close out the game for the 27th out. Reds win the game 1-0. But, man, that's great to see, because it's so rare now that you see a complete game shutout. And Terry Francona left his pitcher out there to go 110 pitches to close it out. And also, you got to think in the back of your mind, maybe I'll bet against Abbott next time out, right?
Well,
because pitchers don't get stretched to 110 very often. When you're off a complete game shutout, a lot of times you might be in a fade spot next time out. Depends who the matchup is, but I would not bet on Abbott next game. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's funny how baseball works. We mentioned this. How about Lucas Giolito, who got absolutely rocked 6 days ago against the Angels? 7 runs on 8 hits and an inning and 2/3.
Barely got out of the first inning.
Well, yeah. Baseball makes a lot of sense, right? 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. It was unearned, Matt, tonight. 3 walks and 4 strikeouts. Red Sox currently lead the Rays by a score of 3-1. I also mentioned that Sandy Alcantara has not looked like the former Cy Young winner at all. He's got an ERA of 7. Well, that came down tonight because he went 6 scoreless for the Miami Marlins. It helps when you face the putrid offense of the Pittsburgh Pirates, but regardless,
I'm going to tell you this about Sandy Alcantara. There's going to be some teams out there at the trade deadline going to be taking a hard look at him, because we know he's got the talent. Obviously, there's a reason he has slumped here for the past past year, Tim?
Yeah.
But he's got that potential. He's still young enough that I think there are going to be teams intrigued by him. And when you have the outing like he did tonight, we know Pirates are sometimes punchless offensively, but that shows the potential that he might have, that a lot of teams are going to be looking for an arm at the trade deadline, and that might be one that intrigues some teams in contention.
Certainly could be a buy-low spot, right? I mean, you think about the stretch that he had, Matt, dating back to kind of his early run there with the Miami Marlins. He was an all-star in 2019, had an ERA of 3.19 in 2021, Cy Young winner in 2022, struggled a bit last year, still threw 3 complete games last year, threw 6. Mm-hmm. In his Cy Young season, and entering today, had a 7.89 ERA. But 6 scoreless tonight, the Marlins do beat the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that's an interesting point when you think about the deadline and who could be on the potential block. So 2 games already final as the Reds beat the Guardians 1-0. Marlins over the Pirates 3-2. Just underway, Matt, in Denver. The Giants, surprise, they have a lead on the Colorado Rockies. The Colorado Rockies, after going to Miami and stunningly sweeping the Miami Marlins, they have turned around and they got swept by the New York Mets over the weekend. The Rockies did, and they're starting a series up with the Giants. 1-0 is the score there. We'll give you more thoughts on our VSiN Primetime Game of the Night, which is the San Diego Padres and Los Angeles Dodgers. The Padres, Matt, a slight favorite over the Dodgers, -108 here at Circa. Dylan Cease takes the hill for the Padres after they lost yesterday in extra innings. But, of course, tomorrow night, Matt, we get Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Right now, as we look at the betting market, you already have a bet in pocket as you have taken the Indiana Pacers plus the 5.5. There are some 5.5s out there still. DraftKings and Superbook, the Westgate Superbook, still at 5.5, Matt. But Circa coming down to 5 here. It's a juiced 5, but a little bit of movement towards the dog, which is the way that you bet this game.
I did take Pacers plus 5.5. The plan is here to play the Pacers. If they come up short in Game 3, don't cover, I'm going to play him again in Game 4. A little bit concerned about the Tyrese Halliburton injury situation. We don't know how much merit there is to it. He was limping a little bit after game two on Sunday night. I think with a couple days off, he's probably going to be fine, but it's something in the back of your mind you're thinking about here. Pacers got to shoot the three ball much better than they did Sunday night. They were 14 for 40. Game one, they were 18 for 39, 46%. They need to shoot 40-plus percent, hit 15 or more threes. That's where they have the biggest edge in this series. The Thunder have edges, Tim, obviously with their defense. Mm-hmm. They're obviously bigger. They got the better go-to lead guard in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who can get to the free throw line double-digit times a game. What the Pacers have to do, exploit their edges with three-point shooting and with coaching. And that's Rick Carlisle is going to have to make some adjustments. I thought the Pacers were way too passive, specifically Tyrese Halliburton in game two. And I think you're going to see Carlisle make some adjustments here for game three. And the Pacers, just in general, come out and play with more urgency in this game. So I like the Pacers as home dogs getting 5.5. That's a strong home court. I think the role players typically play better at home. You know, and the Pacers need guys like TJ McConnell and Benedict Mathurin to play well. Need Aaron Nesmith to get hot from three again. All that's right there for the Pacers. Like Jeff Sherman, he's a big Thunder guy, the Westgate Superbook VP. He's been rolling with the Thunder all along. But Jeff even said tonight, I think, Thunder's going to win the next three, but it's not going to be easy. I don't think any – these next two games in Indiana can't possibly be easy for OKC. Well, that's why I think this 5.5 number is a little bit too high. I thought the number is going to be around 3.5 or 4. I'll take 5.5 with the Pacers in that home court and a team that's going to be, playing for their lives. Like you said, you feel like the Pacers need to win this game.
I do.
To extend this series, I feel like if the Pacers win game three, they're live to win the whole thing. Game three is a hugely important game, and the Pacers are going to approach it that way. Give me 5.5 with the home dog.
Got to wake up, man. Can't come out of the gates as sluggish as they've been. Look, as we all know, amazing comeback in game one. Beyond fortunate to come out of that game with a win with the turnovers that they had.
We were doing the show that night. Pacers had 18-plus turnovers in the first half. And OKC during the second half was as high as what, -2,500 or higher on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, they were wildly fortunate to get out of there, but they're not going to apologize. They got it done. The Thunder struggled. They started to make some threes. But what's been interesting, Matt, is you noted the three-pointers, right? 48% from three in game one. Mm-hmm. Struggled a bit in game two, 14 of 40. But they've also, all series long, Matt, been struggling to get buckets inside the paint. Is that going to be able to change come tomorrow night in Indianapolis? Pascal Siakam addressing the struggles that they've had getting inside the paint and getting production inside that paint.
Yeah, I mean, they swarm a lot. They do a good job of that. I mean, yeah, they use their hands a lot. We're not going to get into fouls or no fouls, but whatever. I mean, I think they're just being aggressive, and we gotta be stronger with the ball. We can't let that speed us up. We still got to play under control. That's what we got to find a way to do.
I mean, you said some key there, which I didn't think the Pacers did nearly enough of in the first two games. They weren't strong enough with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Very careless with the ball. Now they were getting, Thunder active with their hands or swatting balls away a lot of times. And I think Pacers were way too sloppy in that area. But again, Tim, when you're playing on the road in the NBA Finals for the first time, teams can look a lot different when they go home for Game 3 and Game 4. I expect the Pacers – you're going to see a much different Pacers team in Game 3 than you saw in Game 2, I believe. And really, you mentioned it, and it's true. We were on the air for Game 1. Pacers played a crappy three quarters to open the game, open the series in OKC, got hot in the fourth, and stole one. I've not been that impressed by the way the Pacers have played in general in the first two games, but I think we're going to see a lot better from them on Wednesday night. Now, the three-point shooting in the fourth quarter in the second half of game one saved them. Three-point shooting, so you're going to have to carry them in game three as well.
You know, what's interesting is we had Jeff Sherman on, as we mentioned, VP of Risk over at the Westgate Superbook, Matt, and he mentioned that they've been getting some sharp action on Halliburton under 17.5 points, and there is some concern regarding that ankle injury. He said he's going to be fine. I think Shams reported today on McAfee's show that he should be fine, but we'll see. He has not been ultra effective. He hit the game-winning shot, clutch gets in game number one, pull-up jumper. with 0.3 of a second to go to take a 111-110 lead. But you need more from Tyrese Halliburton. But there is some concern there. I think he has a pretty strong game. I think he's going to facilitate. I think he's going to be more aggressive. But you do certainly have to be a bit concerned by that limp that we saw him walking off after game two, after his press conference there in Oklahoma City.
Also, if you're playing the player prop on Halliburton, I would play the points and assists, points, rebounds, and assists, not just the points. Because Halliburton is going to be setting up teammates for a lot of he's going to have a lot of assist opportunities, I think, in this game as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And here is that video that we saw of just him a little gimpy heading off of the press conference. I'm sure they might have some things to make it feel a little bit better heading into that game. But yeah,
it could be just gamesmanship, maybe. Too. He's trying to make the Thunder think he's hurt and he's really not.
I did play over 25.5 points and assists, 25.5. So hopefully we get double digit assists and get around, 16, 17 points.
I could see a game where he has like 20 points and 12 assists.
It'd be beautiful.
Something like that. It'd be an easy winner for you.
That would be nice. Those are always the best. Hey, folks, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for us, the bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today. Head on over to edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code PRIME, P-R-I-M-E. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. Once again, the website edgeboost.bet. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Steve Sands will join us coming up bottom of the hour to help us preview the U.S. Open. And Matt, I've got an interesting situational spot I want to throw by you in college football. We'll do that next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, more U.S. Open preview. Steve Sands from Oakmont, Pennsylvania, coming up in just a little bit.
I've got a message here from Pat Webb. I call him P. Webb from Portsmouth, Ohio. He has played in the VSiN Invitational with us a few years. He's a character. He's counting on Tommy Fleetwood for a top five this week. Says he can't win, but he'll play his guts out. I said, you know what? I've never bet on Tommy Fleetwood, and I'm not going to start now. but he is a grinder, and it wouldn't surprise me if a guy like Fleetwood went out there this week and was able to grind out a top 10 type of showing, in this tournament. And, Tim, I think some of these European players are going to be live. These guys who play well in the toughest courses, and that's why, we're looking at players like Shane Lowry this week.
Plus 500 right now at DraftKings for Tommy Fleetwood to go top five, plus 240, top 10. Mackenzie Gore, by the way, did in fact go under his strikeout prop here tonight. 6 strikeouts tonight for Mackenzie Gore as he exited after 6 innings of work. The New York Mets do lead by a score right now of 4-2. We got a whole lot to get to when it comes to the U.S. Open. More on that. We'll revisit Matt's best bets as the show goes on. And Matt, every Tuesday and Friday, I do a radio show down in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for a little over a year. And I've been doing hits with those guys for a couple of years now. And we love to talk college football. We had on Colin Wilson from the Action Network to preview the College World Series. He's a big Arkansas guy. And you mentioned that Phil Steele has got his digital copy of his magazine out. And I was flipping through that digitally. And I saw that he actually had Memphis as his number one team in the AAC, which is a little bit against the grain. They're plus 550 at DraftKings. And then I was looking at the schedule, Matt. And you and I love situational spots. And I already found one. So Arkansas brings back Talen Green. It's a big year for Sam Pittman on the hot seat. Bobby Petrino, offensive coordinator. Maybe he's the interim coach. Week number 3, September 13th, Matt, they go on the road to Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Week 5, they host Notre Dame for the first time, I believe, in school history.
And I can smell a sandwich.
And Colin Wilson, who lives in Fayetteville, told me, Matt, they're already talking about the Notre Dame visit.
Probably talking about the Ole Miss game, too.
In the middle, yeah. Matt, right there. That salami between those two pieces of bread. They have to go on the road to the Liberty Bowl to take on Memphis. Ole Miss on the road September 13th, hosting Notre Dame September 27th. And let's head to the Murray Delicatessen because we got ourselves an early sandwich to look at here. Arkansas at Memphis, September 20th. Just mark it down. Keep our eyes on it. Memphis was actually one of my favorite situational spots last year on the opposite side. Do you remember who their former coach was? Mike Norvell went to Florida State. Memphis went to Florida State last year, and they beat him.
Sure.
The week after.
Florida State was.
Well, we didn't know how terrible Florida State was at that point. But they beat Florida State as a dog, and then they had to go on the road to take on Navy.
Oh, yeah.
Bye week for the mids. And that was a fireworks game. I think it was like 56-44, something like that. So I'm going to work my way through and find some situational spots. But that one jumped out to me. So an early look at the Murray Delicatessen there.
I like it. The sandwich spot. I love the graphic there of Tim Murray because you actually started your career as a sandwich artist at Subway.
I did. Yep. I mean, I was more of like a, I was trying to think of a deli by where I grew up. But, you know, I could slice it up real good. I actually stopped at a deli on the way in.
Jersey
you know?
Mike's?
No. Port of Subs was where I stopped by on the way in. It was the only restaurant on the way in. But regardless, I did some curls, too, before getting back in the old smock there. You know,
looks good. I like that graphic. I actually like the sandwich spot quite a bit. You're talking about Ole Miss. You're talking about a big conference game for the Hogs. And then the Notre Dame visit's obviously going to be hyped. And right in the middle, a road trip to Memphis, and Tigers are going to be pretty good this season.
Yep.
So I think you're on to something there. What do you expect to get with Memphis? +3?
Anything north of a field goal would be lovely. Man, if Matt Grill wants to throw up a little game of the year there and give me a touchdown, that's not going to happen. I would think right now 4.5 would be my guess.
Okay.
That would be somewhere in that ballpark between a touchdown and a field goal. Unfortunately, no game of the year line yet on Arkansas-Memphis, but that would be a nice one to look at. So we are going to talk a little more college football. Brian Edwards is going to jump on the program top of the next hour. Always love talking to Mr. Edwards. Great on the SEC. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, I was looking at his best bets, Matt. He does have some differing opinions from our friend Brad Powers. Brad Powers joined the podcast, the College Football Betting Podcast, high on Alabama this year. Thinks it's maybe a little bit of a buy-low opportunity.
I kind of see that, too.
And
quarterback's a big question, though.
So here's an interesting thing that I wanted to, and I wasn't planning on divulging too deep into college football here, but I wanted to point this out about the quarterback situation at a couple of schools. So if you look at schools like Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Oregon, all of these teams are top 10 in the futures market. Ole Miss, too, Austin Simmons. And I was, once again, going back to Phil Steele. If you look at his quarterback rankings, his top individual units, and you go up and down the list, Matt, you go to number 36, Alabama. You go to number 64, Notre Dame. If one of those team hits, Ohio State, 46, if they're able to hit at the quarterback position with the talent they have on that roster, that's where it gets pretty interesting. I think Alabama's fascinating because if Ty Simpson's their guy and you look at the rest of the roster and how strong it is, Matt, I think 15-16-1 is worth a look. And it's not like Kalen DeBoer forgot how to coach overnight. He had a bad year last season. They got a ton of talent on that roster. Schedule's loaded as it always is. But I'll say this, the non-conference has Florida State and Wisconsin. 5-6 years ago, you're like, woof, that's rough. Right now, Florida State, Wisconsin, are you shaking in your boots about either one of those games?
No, of course not. I actually think Bama might be a little bit underrated.
I agree.
Thinking about last week when I was looking through some college football stuff. And the quarterback's a big question mark for me, though, with the Tide. I still think there's a pretty good chance Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State are all going to get good quarterback play this season. Those rankings by Phil Steele sound kind of low.
Well, I think it's it's kind of the question mark, right? Of what do you know about Julian Sain at Ohio State or CJ Carr at Notre Dame?
I know one thing about Julian Sain. He's got some great weapons around him.
Yeah. It's nice to have Jeremiah Smith to throw the football to.
Yeah.
It's nice if you're, you know, if you're down there at Alabama and you're Ty Simpson to have Ryan Williams to throw the football to. So they do have some loaded wide receivers. But as I mentioned, if you look at the top, let's just go top 10 on the odds board. Ohio State, question mark at quarterback. Texas?
No question.
We feel like we know what Arch Manning's going to be, but he hasn't proved it yet, but the expectation is he's fine. Georgia? Question mark at quarterback. Penn State?
Yeah.
Proven
pretty
starter, Yeah, pretty proven. Yeah. Oregon? Question mark. Alabama? Question mark. Notre Dame? Question mark. Clemson? Seems like they're pretty pretty confident
Clemson
there.
And Penn State, very comparable, right? Pretty proven quarterbacks. And
LSU has Garrett Nussmeier, so a lot of confidence there, too.
I mean, those quarterbacks at Penn State, Clemson, LSU, you would expect those guys are going to have really strong seasons.
Yeah, when you, once again, if you look at Phil Steele, here's his rankings for top quarterback
veteran
rooms.
Quarterbacks who've done it, and you would think the best is yet to come from those guys.
He goes, he goes Clemson 1, LSU 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4, South Carolina with Lenora Sellers at 5.
Okay.
A lot of hype for South Carolina this year. A lot of belief that Shane Beamer's squad. I'll tell you what, the team that South Carolina lost their bowl game to, Illinois, they've got a lot of hype too.
Illinois might be overhyped.
Yeah. Luke Altmaier coming back for his 95th year of college football.
I think Illinois' luck was a little bit off the charts last season. That Illinois ended up winning 9 or 10 games.
Thought it was.
Was this a bowl game, the 10th win?
I think it was the 10th win. I'll double check that. But yeah, I think it was the 10th win. I tell you what would be a fun one. It was a best bet from Paul Stone. He took the 3 with Illinois at Indiana in late September. He's fading the Hoosiers, thinking that they're going to have a little regression. More college football talk coming up top of the hour. U.S. Open chatter with our guy Steve Sands live from Oakmont, Pennsylvania, coming up in 5 minutes. But just a reminder, folks, if you're looking to get the best bet out there, well, we've got a great opportunity for you. Check out our VSiN Pro subscription for $199 for a full year, and you get your hands on the Josh Applebaum new book, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. Got to use the promo code BOOK at vsin.com/subscribe. So the promo code is book, and you get access to our daily email with best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 access on the VSiN Watch app. U.S. Open gets going on Thursday. Matt's got some best bets. We've been giving them out all throughout the show. What does Steve Sands think live from Oakmont, Pennsylvania? We'll ask him next right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Newman's. I'm Tim Murray. City Field coming alive. Bottom of the eighth inning. Juan Soto, the former Washington National, steps to the dish as his team trails by 2 runs. He's already gone yard once here this evening, Matt. Hopefully it's not twice as he takes on the Washington Nationals. And speaking of Washington, D.C., the pride of Woodward High School there in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., Steve Sands, now legend on the Golf Channel, joins us right now, courtesy of our progressive guest line. You're going to play a little Jim Cantore for us, Steve. How's the weather outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, going to be over the next 4 days?
I'm taller than Jim Cantore, but I'm not as bulky as Jim Cantore. love Jim Cantore. The weather's fine. You guys are not. We were talking, Matt and I were talking before the break. Thank you. I think it's going to be fine. I mean, there may be some rain over the weekend, but it's been raining here for the last, say, 10 days or so. And the golf course is a little bit on the soft side, but don't worry. It's going to be plenty, plenty challenging.
I'd say, how fast are these greens going to be? How thick is rough going to be? What do you expect the winning score to be, Steve? Because the prop is 1.5 under.
Yeah, I saw the 278.5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting about that, Matt, is that I talked to a bunch of guys today on the golf course in a practice round, And all of them said, there's no way anybody's going to break par.
Really?
And so that would mean, obviously, an over par score would win, you know, over the course of 4 days. They think that scores will be shot throughout the week, but they don't think after 4 days that anybody will be under par. I think the best players in the world, I think somebody's going to shoot something under par, and I'd be surprised if it didn't go, what would that be, under the 278 and a half. But the guys will tell you today on the golf course, Matt, that there's no way someone's going to finish under par.
I'm gonna say 3 under wins this thing, Steve.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a lot of people think at Oakmont, you know, we all, the three of us, love the fade. Everybody loves Oakmont, how hard it is, the hardest golf course in the rotation by far. But to me, everyone's going to bet the over on that. I would take the low. I think someone's going to shoot under par.
All right, Scotty Scheffler about 3-1 favorite here. Bryson DeChambeau, the second choice, plus 750. Rory floating up around 12-14-1. John Rahm getting a little bit of action this week around that 12-14-1 range as well. Xander Schauffele taking some sharp action here at the Circa Sportsbook. Of that group of five, who do you really like, or is there anyone you don't like?
I love Xander Schauffele this week.
Yeah,
I'm with the sharps on that one. He's a ball striker. He's been playing very good golf. And as Jack Nicklaus once told me, you bring your game to a major, you don't find your game in a major. Which means if those five guys, I would say Scotty and Xander are the two who I like the best of those five.
Steve Sands joining us live from Oakmont, Pennsylvania. He will be on the coverage there on the Golf Channel, NBC as well. Steve, let's go to the world's best player. That is Scotty Scheffler. And the three of us and, you know, people here at VSiN trying to figure out ways to beat this guy. And it doesn't always end up all that well, right? You're looking at, you know, 3-1 here at Circa, plus 275 at other spots. From what you've seen from Scotty so far this week, leading up to it, what do you make of Scotty and any reason to go against him here at Oakmont?
The only reason to go against him is that there are 156 guys in the field. And whenever Tiger had the Tiger versus the field, I would always take the field. And I would probably take the field against Scotty as well. But I do think he is a worthy, worthy favorite. And he should be a heavy favorite. He's playing great. He won the last major. He's won his last three events, and I just can't see anybody beating him if he plays his best. Now, this place has a way of identifying the player who plays the best over the course of 4 days, so you never know, but Scotty should be the favorite, and there is really no reason to go against him if you're looking for some action.
Steve, a guy that's been mentioned a couple times, we had two different odds makers on the show today. We had Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook and Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook here, and both of them on their cards have Sepp Straka at around 50-1. What do you make of Sepp Straka? This is a guy that I've heard a number of sharps kind of like throughout the year.
Ooh, I like Sepp Straka's chances this week. I think Sepp is the kind of player, I think ball strikers are going to win this week. I think fairway finders, guys who hit greens in regulation, who give themselves opportunities, guys who stay away from double bogeys, those are the three things that are going to win this week here at Oakmont. And Sepp Straka comes in good form. He has winning experience. And I think that it could be a breakthrough week for him, although I wouldn't pick him as my top spot.
All right, how about a couple other guys that they mentioned that are on my card as well? Shane Lowry, who's been knocking on the door and hasn't quite got knocked it down yet. But, Steve, you remember 2016 at Oakmont, the 54-hole leader was Shane Lowry by four strokes, and he finished second. How much should that factor into your handicapping this week, the experience he has of playing well on this course?
Yeah, he took my stat away from me, Matt. I was going to say he was a 54-hole leader 9 years ago. Look, Shane Lowry has won a major championship. He knows how to get to the finish line. He's familiar with the golf course. Although I will say in 16, the golf course was different than his playing today. It's a little softer then. But Shane Lowry is such a good player. What's weird about Shane, Matt, is that he's played well, but he hasn't finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like guys who haven't finished. And, you know, if you ask me later in this interview who I think is going to win, I'll give you a name who I think has never won before, but I do think has a great chance this week. And I think Shane Lowry can certainly win, but for whatever reason, whether it was that last year at Truth at the Open Championship or a couple of times this year, he's played well. And then on Sunday, he's faltered a little bit. And I don't love that. I do love Shane, and I love him personally as well. But for some reason, he hasn't played great on Sundays here coming down the stretch.
All right. How about a couple other guys I'll throw at you? Been popular with a lot of bettors. Harris English at around 80-1.
Man, oh, man. You guys are reading my mind. I think Harris English, if I was going to do a try box, if this was the Belmont at Saratoga, and I was allowed to do a try box, I would put Harris English in that try box. I think Harris is set up for a big week, and I think Harris English is going to be there on Sunday afternoon at some point, and I think he's got a great chance to win.
I'll throw one more player at you before I kick it back to Tim when we get your win pick here as well. Joaquin Niemann has been on fire on the LIV Tour. Now, he has not been good in majors at all. What do you expect from a player like Niemann this week?
The major thing bugs me, Matt. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, winning breeds winning in sports, especially in golf. Doesn't matter what level, doesn't matter what tour. I think the LIV Tour helps Joaquin play well in big spots like this. But for whatever reason, he has never, never performed well in a major championship. And it's 54 holes, it's shorts, it's music, it's different vibe. I think Joaquin Niemann's a fabulous player. I just don't think he's the kind of guy like Koepka 2 years ago at the PGA or DeChambeau, who's the defending champion this week. I don't think Joaquin is quite ready to make that leap and be a major champion just yet.
Steve Sands, Golf Channel, joining us live from Oakmont, Pennsylvania. He'll be part of the coverage there on Golf Channel. All right, Steve, you teed it up. So bring it home on the tees. Who is on your card and who is that name that we've never seen win a U.S. Open? Do you think that could take it?
I mean, kind of like Sovereignty at Saratoga last weekend, you have to put Scottie Scheffler in your trifecta box. But I would put Harris English and Tommy Fleetwood right there as well.
Okay.
And I'm hoping, not because of personality, but I'm hoping that Tommy and Harris are on top of Scotty so that it pays a little bit better. But you'd be foolish to not put Scotty in the mix right there. I also think if you're going to take another guy who's one of the favorites, I also like Ludvig Åberg this week. I like Xander Schauffele this week. But I'll take Harris English, Tommy Fleetwood, and Scottie Scheffler in a trifecta box and take my chances with those three.
Real quickly, Steve, we got about 30 seconds. There's a bunch of matchups out there, Rahm versus McIlroy. Are you down on McIlroy after what we saw last week?
Yeah, the last couple starts have been bad. I would take Rahm in that matchup over McIlroy for sure.
He is Steve Sands. By the way, the Mets scored 2 runs in the eighth here, so that's not ideal for our Nats, Steve. But enjoy the Open, man. We'll talk to you soon.
We won the World Series in 2019. It's all gravy from here, man.
That's right. 2019 was the best. That's all we have to remember. TJ Oshie had a hell of a career, too. He retired the other day for our Capitals.
I think the Caps won the Stanley Cup in 2018.
They did, yeah. And they're still partying down there. TJ Oshie did his retirement from the fountains in Georgetown.
How about the Washington Mystics? Are you guys a big fan of that team as well?
Also won the championship in 2018, I believe. I don't think they're doing as hot anymore. All right. That's enough of your D.C. update. Mets and Nationals tied at 4, top of the ninth inning. It is VSiN Primetime. We'll circle back to all the bets that have been given out so far on the show for the U.S. Open.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's VSiN Primetime alongside Matt Newman's. I'm Tim Murray. A lot of great guests tonight from the U.S. Open perspective, as we heard from Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook, Matt Grill, DraftKings Sportsbook, and Steve Sands just a moment ago. A lot of crossover, similar names that you're hearing thrown out there, Matt. as let's get to a recap of some of the best bets we've heard. And we'll start with your card so far. As mentioned, you will add more to your card. But as of right now, sir, where are we looking at from a best bet standpoint? As always, our best bets brought to you by our friends at GBank.
Bryson DeChambeau, top five plus 160. I do not have a win bet on Bryson right now, but I might make one, you know, after first, second round. I just don't want to take the 7-1, 8-1 that's out there. Ludwig Åberg, 24-1. Shane Lowry, 33-1. And top five plus 525. A small bet on Cameron Young, 115-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 125-1 and top 23-1. Lowry, Shane Lowry, plus 112 over Colin Morikawa in a matchup. But a couple bets I plan to add here, Tim, here at Circa tonight because the numbers are good enough. How about Harris English at 80-1 and Justin Rose at 180-1? Justin Rose, 125-1. Give me a runner-up. Lost in a playoff at the Masters. I'll give Rose one more shot. Nobody's talking about Rosie this week. And I do think some of these European players are going to be live. Steve Sands, interesting that he mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. You know, another one of those players who could grind it for 4 days and finish in the top 10, have a shot. That's why I'm on guys like Lowry, Fitzpatrick, and I think I'm going to add Justin Rose here.
Harris English has been mentioned by all three of our guests tonight. Matt Grill, Jeff Sherman, and now Steve Sands. So he said, if you're looking for a trifecta, which we've got a trifecta for you from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN, the trifecta from Steve Sands would be Scottie Scheffler, Tommy Fleetwood, and Harris English. So speaking of the trifecta, brought to you by our friends over at GBank, $500 trifecta, Matt, from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes that trifecta, Matt, with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply.
Headline from Golf Digest. This is a story Golf Digest put out today. Rory McIlroy admitted he's struggling for motivation since winning the Masters. It's been pretty obvious in the way he's played, and if you've watched his press conferences, and that's why I'd be looked to fade Rory this week. Wouldn't surprise me that much if he missed the cut, and his odds are drifting up because not a lot of people want to bet Rory. But you get that 15-1 range, you're going to definitely have some buyers, right? You get some buyback when you get the odds drifting up a little bit. Just, I don't see Rory showing up with an edge this week. And I watched his press conference today on the Golf Channel as well. I'm just not impressed where his mindset is right now. He got that monkey off the back. Some say the gorilla off his back when he won the Masters.
Made us sweat for that one, didn't he?
Completed a career grand slam. Yeah. Took down Justin Rose in the playoff. But since then, it's obvious he's not the same player. And that's why I said there's money showing up against Rory this week, and it's understandable why.
So a couple of the bets that we were mentioned earlier, a lot of crossover for Matt Grill, Jeff Sherman, and even Steve Sands here. So Bryson DeChambeau outright for both Sherman and Grill. Now, worth noting, both of those odds makers, Matt, got better numbers. And Matt Grill, he didn't even tell us the number that he got because I get it. What are you going to gloat? Hey, I got it at this number. So Matt said, look, I bet Bryson, but it was, you know, way up, you know, a long time ago. Both are on Bryson. Both are on Shane Lowry. Both are on Sepp Straka. And then both are on Harris English. Jeff Sherman mentioned that he's going to have a little Harris English first round leader as well.
Jeff Sherman has no problem gloating when he gets the best number. He loves to brag about it. Jeff Sherman, we got this. We said it could be a game show. Jeff Sherman's number, because he's always got the best number on every bet in the world. And he's got 150-1 on Harris English. How about
that? That's a nice bet. 100-1 is the best price I saw out there.
Sherman combs that market every day, and a very sharp better. 150-1 on Harris English. Got to feel good about that. But that's a guy I think is live. You could bet in the first round leader market too. And I probably plan to do that as well.
Oh, I also missed this. Steve Sands said he, quote, loves Xander.
He does.
Hmm. I have not heard a lot of pro Xander talk this week.
He said he loves Xander, but he did not put Xander in his trifecta box.
He did not. The trifecta box was Scotty Scheffler, Tommy Fleetwood, and Harris English. I'll tell you this. Our guy, Steve, he's shaking a little bit in his boots because he does not like to bet the chalk, but he's in on Scotty Scheffler. Just doesn't want to, I guess, be beaten by Scotty Scheffler. I mean, Matt, you've been betting golf for a long, long time, right? When you've got someone to this level, and you've had Scotty Scheffler bets. I think in the PGA, what, you had him top five, I want to say?
Yes, and I bet him in that tournament in Fort Worth.
Oh, God.
About a month ago.
When he won by a billion strokes?
Plus 275. And I said, okay, I'm not going to brag about this, and I hate doing it, but I'm going to bet Scheffler plus 270. He was facing a weak field in his backyard, kind of his hometown tournament, and he had not won yet, Tim. He had a lot of motivation to win. And he went out and he blew everybody away, shot 31 or 32 under, won by, I think, 8 strokes. And that's when, you know, when you're facing a weaker field like that, a plus 275, I felt like that was a decent bet to make and turned out to be a great bet. Then he rolled into the PGA and won that too. So, you know, you getting Scotty, getting hot at the right time, but on a ridiculously difficult course like these guys are going to be on at Oakmont, I don't want to take Scheffler at about 3-1. I'm going to try. I'll probably try to bet this live and see if I can catch Scotty at a better number, maybe on Saturday, or maybe not bet him at all. Who knows? But I guess if you want to play it safe, one option out there, if you want to have something on Scotty Scheffler, stop shaking your head about the Nats game because it doesn't really matter.
Come on, man. You got a man on third.
The Nats are so far out of it, and you don't even have a bet on the Nats tonight, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. So stop sitting over there.
Let me be a sports fan. About the Nats. Let me be a sports fan one of these nights,
Nats,
man.
Nats are not even in the race, okay?
We're having a better year.
Anyway, if you want to play it safe with Scotty Scheffler, bet him top five, like minus 140.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. I don't think he's going to bomb in this major, and that's one option. I have not bet anything on Scheffler so far.
Matt, we'll be back on Thursday night. You and I will be doing this show, and we're going to have the professor, Aaron Moore, on to help us handicap the College World Series. Mm-hmm. And I saw a tweet put out today by Circa, and we've seen a flip of favorites here at the Circa Sportsbook. Remember, coming up on Thursday, we'll have Mitch and Paul. They'll be live from Rocco's, taking Jello shots there, hopefully off the air. And then JVT and Stormy. And hopefully we'll catch up with Derek live from Rocco's on Thursday night for his normal spot with us. Maybe Jensen Lewis or something like that. But it is worth noting today when Circa put out the odds, Matt, LSU was plus 202. Arkansas plus 220. Arkansas now your betting favorite here at Circa to win the title at plus 215. LSU plus 230. But think about it this real quick. The two betting favorites heading into the College World Series in Omaha, Matt,
are playing each other
on Saturday night. So that's just the way it plays. It is double elimination. So if you lose game one, like LSU did in 2023, you can come back and you can still win it. So Arkansas and LSU, the two betting favorites, and we saw a flip of favorites. Arkansas now plus 215, LSU plus 230. What would have been fascinating, Matt, is what these odds would have been if they were on the opposite side of the bracket. Would they be the same? Would they be a little bit shorter, knowing that the likelihood was that they would meet up in that championship round? But Coastal Carolina and Oregon State have the shortest odds in bracket one. Those teams play on Friday, but gonna be pretty cool to see.
I did ask the professor, Aaron Moore. I said, who would you bet if you have one bet on the futures board? I sent him the Circus Sports odds, and he said, well, probably Oregon State, because the Beavers have a hospitable half of the bracket, right? They got a good chance to get out of that half of the bracket. But he's going to be on with us Thursday night to talk about that. Hey, our VSIM primetime game of the night is underway. I wanted to mention that the Padres took some money here at Circa right before the first pitch. Went up from minus 108 to minus 118. Dylan Cease getting the start for the Padres, and Freddie Freeman flied out to the wall in the top of the first. Padres have a runner on second with one out. So we're underway. Dodgers-Padres at Petco in San Diego.
Matt, it's like a billion degrees outside. It's summertime here, and guess what? Our friends at Circa have a great promotion going on all in Circa Las Vegas this summer. Just $400, two-night stay here at Circa. $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and a very own day bed at Stadium Swim. Head on over to CircaLasVegas.com. Let's talk some college football. We'll do that next.